your Bible and turn to James chapter 4 this evening. James chapter 4. This is lesson number 43. Lesson number 43 on the subject of relationships. Now, I study in advance, and so I think I can tell you we have at least two more lessons after this. We may have more than that, but if you're wondering how much longer on relationships, at least a couple more weeks. James chapter 4, if you would, stand with me, find verse number 10. James chapter 4, find verse number 10. And I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says, "Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that thou judgest another?" If you'll look back at me, the sermon's going to be tonight basically about our relationship with those that we wrongly judge. Now, if you'll stay with me, I'm going to, that word judge there, the closest I can come to that word and a word that we would use in this day that applies to what I'm going to teach, the word stereotype. How many of you would say, "I think I understand the word stereotype"? Would you raise your hand? Most of you would. I'll explain it a little bit more later. But I think sometimes we stereotype people, and we therefore hurt our relationship with them. And tonight I'm going to talk to you about your relationship with unfairly stereotyped people. And you'll understand it as the lesson gets underway. And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Lord, we live in a wicked world. We live in a confused world. Father, we live in an aimless world. We live in a world that's messed up. But God, we don't have to be like that. We don't have to be aimless. We don't have to be messed up. We don't have to be wicked. And that's because, Lord, you saved us, placed the Holy Spirit within us, then gave us a guidebook to lead us through the wilderness of this world. So we can live right. We can do right. Father, in the world, the treatment of people is so cruel sometimes. May we as Christians show a lost and dying world the proper way to behave toward people. Help our relationships to be strong. Tonight, as a result of being at church, may our relationships be better in this life, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Stay with me for a little while, and I'm going to talk to you about many verses in the Bible. And then toward the end, I'm just going to make a bunch of applications, if I could. In the Bible, we see God teaching us about our passing judgment on other people. And he said this in James chapter 4. He said, "Speak not evil one of another." He talks about, who do you think you are judging like that? And God actually says that kind of behavior where you and I are going around passing judgment on one another, speaking evil of one another, labeling one another the way we do. He said it's an inexcusable behavior. Romans chapter 2 verse 1 says this, "For thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest, doest the same things." So he says this thing of you and I going around passing judgment on one another and on others, on people we don't even know, we pass judgment on them. And he said, you are, in your judging, you're condemning yourself. You say, well, why? Because some of the things you judge people about are things that you're guilty of now, or you were guilty of, or you will be guilty of. And he said, you got a bunch of sinners judging sinners. And he says that's inexcusable. God warns us if we judge others, we will be judged with that same type of judgment. Galatians 6:2 tells us, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." So God's saying when you and I, when we pass judgment on one another, or people that we don't even know, he said, now don't you be shocked. Somebody doesn't turn around and judge you that way. Now, we don't mind casting doubt toward other people. We don't mind criticizing someone else. We don't mind, if you will, I'll use the term stereotyping someone else. But God said, now you might not mind doing it to someone, but when they do it to you, you're not going to like it. He said in Matthew 7, verse 1 and 2, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. See, while we're busy judging or stereotyping someone else, the same thing's going to come back at us if we're not careful, because we're going to reap what we've sown. God wants us to not judge according to what something looks like or its appearance. But he said, judge based on the truth. In other words, you look at something and say, well, from the way it looks to me, thus and so must be the case. God said, you're not supposed to judge on appearance. You're supposed to judge on the truth or the facts. He said this in John 7:24, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. See, it's not how something looks that counts. It's the truth that counts. It's not, you say, well, it seems to me. Did you know your seamer might be broken? It seems to me. Bottom line is, folks, we need to know the truth. We need to know the facts. Say, well, the way I see that, did you know that it might be that your vision is limited? Your vision might be tainted. Your vision might even be wrong. So it's not how it seems that matters, it's how it is that matters, which is factual truth. That's what he means by judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Now, some kid in here is going to say, I told you, Mom, I shouldn't have to comb my hair. No, this is not talking about your appearance and combing your hair and brushing your teeth and behaving like a Christian. It's talking about you're looking at situations and casting a predetermined or a self-summarized a summary or judgment on it. And God said, that's not right. God warns us to mind our own business when it comes to passing judgment on other people. Listen to Romans 14:4. He says this, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. God is saying, you and I should not be making judgment calls. We should not be making decisions about things that are not our business. Here he's talking about another man's servant. Now, that means you see someone that works for somebody else and they're not doing their job well. God basically is saying you need to keep your nose out of their business because they don't work for you. You let them take care of their business, but you take care of your business. We could use it in the church. Brother Ellswick has a bus route. Brother McGirt has a bus route. Brother Gernoski has a bus route. Brother Seavey has a bus route. We have four bus routes. Now, it's not Brother Ellswick's job to judge what's happening on Brother Seavey's route. It's not Brother Seavey's route. It's not his job to judge what's going on Dave's route. God's kind of saying, everybody keep your nose in your business. You'll be healthier that way. Did you know that the Holy Spirit was given to convict us about sin? He's there not just to comfort, but he's there to convict. But listen to this. There's a part of this verse that people kind of leave out. The Bible says in John 16:8 about the Holy Spirit and about convicting us of our sin. He says, and when he is come, that's in reference to the Holy Spirit, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin. Now, we believe that. We say, that's right. The Holy Spirit is going to reprove the world of sin. It says, and of righteousness, or it's talking about what righteousness is or what is right, or the absence thereof. He's going to convict us about unrighteousness, if you will. So he uses the word sin, and of righteousness. Then it says, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. Now, most people never mention that and of judgment. The Holy Spirit is to convict us about keeping our nose in our business and not judging on the basis of your perception or your the appearance of, but we're to judge on the facts. And he said, you need to be careful how you judge because it's going to come back at you someday. I think one of the ways where we as Christians sometimes sinfully judge others is in our labeling of people. I am an old-fashioned Baptist. I'm an old-fashioned independent fundamental Baptist. Old-fashioned means I believe the old-time way. Independent means we're not attached to a denomination. We're an independent body of believers here at our church. A fundamentalist is somebody that believes the fundamentals of the Bible. We believe what God said, and we take it literally. I'm a Baptist. I'm not a Methodist. I'm not a Lutheran. I'm a Baptist. John the Baptist, the word Baptist is not, that's not his last name. That's what he was. He's the one that baptized Jesus. Now, that's what I am, and I'm not that by accident. I'm that by on purpose. But I have to tell you something. Sometimes us old-fashioned Baptists, us old-fashioned fundamentalists, sometimes we're judgmental in a way that we shouldn't be. Sometimes we can tend to stereotype. We can tend to label people, and I don't think God intended us to be like that. You say, well, what does it mean to stereotype? Really, the stereotype originally it was a mold process where they would make a mold, and then many parts would be made off of that mold. You know, ladies, you've seen a mold for a cake. And you pour the batter in the cake mold, and every time you pour the batter in the cake mold and you cook the cake, that cake comes out the same way over and over and over again. Now, what is the word stereo in the Greek means solid. What's happening with this idea of stereotyping, we make in our minds a solid decision about many people who may not all be exactly the same. In other words, we label them and say they're someone that looks like this obviously behaves like that, and we clump them all together. In other words, we make a solid decision judging in our minds about many people based on maybe the behavior of one or a few or one of our personal experiences. Let me read to you John 7:24 again. God said, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." I'm going to tell you something that was said to me, and I'm not even sure the person's here that said it, but they said, "Well, Pastor, I wasn't really sure that I would want to be in your church because when I checked, I found out what Bible college you went to, and I thought you were going to be this mean guy because I met a guy from your Bible college and he was mean, and all he ever talked about was separation from the world. He basically was mean how he handles everything, and all he talked about was separation from the world and men not being like women and women not being like men." And he said, I really didn't think I wanted to come to your church. Now, there's only one problem with that. That was stereotyping. And what they had done is they came across one and associated everybody as being identical to that one. That's stereotyping. And and then they said this. They said, "Well, I'm glad I stuck around. You obviously have more sermons than just separation from the world. And though you yell in the pulpit sometimes, you're not as mean as what I thought you would be. But you don't know me yet, so don't close your judgment." This stereotyping where we label many because of one or a few. You know, it happened in the Bible, believe it or not. It actually happened with Jesus or God. Let me read something to you from John chapter 1, verse 45 and 46. It says this, "Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" What a slam. It's about Jesus. They said, "He's from Nazareth." And somebody said, "People from Nazareth are dirtballs. He's a flunky from Nazareth. How could he be God's son? He's from the wrong part of the country." That's what they said. In other words, they'd come across somebody from Nazareth, or maybe a group of people in Nazareth that were not what they ought to be. So they said, "Everybody in that city's bad." And God said, that's wrong. Hey, were they wrong about their judgment? You know what they said? Could any good thing come out of Nazareth? Well, I got news for you. Something good came out of it. Jesus Christ, the best ever. So I guess their stereotyping was wrong. Their preconceived notion about that person was wrong. Folks, not all blondes are airheads. Now he's saying, heresy, Pastor. That's heresy. You know, when I grew up, people told Polack jokes all the time. I was almost convinced that if you came from Poland, you had to be some dumb bunny. That's not true. That's not true. Did you know that all used car salesmen are not crooked? They're not crooked. Somebody's saying again, oh, come on, preacher. Now, I want you to listen to me. I'll come back to some of that in a minute. We can get ourselves in trouble in our stereotyping. You can find that someone is from a particular country, and you immediately associate them with everything from that country. But wait a minute, they're an individual. I know some wonderful Christians that came from India. You say, but they're Hindu. No, you can be saved and be from that country and be a decent person. And I think God is saying to us, you need to be careful how you label people, and you need to be careful how you treat people. The skin color stereotype in our world is terrible. Thank God for the song, Red and Yellow, Black and White. They're all precious in His sight. I've met people with all skin colors that are jerks. I've met people with all skin colors that are fantastic Christians. And if you ever take the stance because they're this color or that color, this is what they are, you're wrong. You're wrong, and God said that's unfair judgment. The word we use today is stereotype. Now, some of you, you're going to mess up relationships that could be or relationships that are because you judge people in the way that I'm describing tonight. Let me, if I may, I'm going to make some applications. Did you know that not all postal workers are about to snap and shoot people? Well, now there have been a few times in the postal system where they went ballistic and took their guns out and shot. But if you all would just address your envelope right, they wouldn't feel that way. But I got to tell you something. Don't wrongly judge them all on the basis of the reputation of a few. Let each one stand on their own reputation. I wonder, we probably have 4 or 5 people, maybe 6 people in our church that are some of the finest people you'll meet on the face of this earth that work for the postal system. Now, but they have coined a term. I'm afraid they're going to go postal. That's unfair. It's an unfair stereotype. Some wonderful Christians I know work in the postal system. What happened? A few tampered with the reputation of the rest. And that's an unfair stereotype. That's an unfair judgment. Let me tell you this. Do you know that not all lawyers are shysters and not all of them are evil? You say, but there are some out there like that. I know. Sure there are. There are some people that do what you do that are wicked, vile, nasty people. Now, should we associate you with the vile, nasty, wicked, or should you have the chance to stand on your own 2 feet and develop a reputation or a testimony of your own? I know some born-again Christian lawyers who are honest, who tell the truth. I would not label all on the reputation of a few. Let each one stand on the testimony that they live in life. I know a lawyer right now that requires all of his clients to take a lie detector test because he will not defend the guilty. You say, that's odd. Well, it's not odd to him because he's a born-again Christian man that wants to do the right thing. Hey, and don't we need Christian lawyers? Okay, so what I'm saying is, watch your judgment. If you're not careful, you develop, we develop an attitude. They're all shysters. They're all like that. You met one, and that one tampered with your perception of all the rest. And I think God is saying to us, don't judge on appearance, judge on the facts. Judge on what is true. Number three, all politicians are not wicked. All politicians are not for sale. I really believe that. I know some people that are politicians, and they're not for sale. Most of you, well, a good handful of you, are old enough to remember back in the 1970s when Dr. Jerry Falwell and his institutions were still fundamental and right with the Bible. I remember when Dr. Falwell started a group called the Moral Majority. And Dr. Falwell was encouraging Christians to get involved in politics because he felt like we've got to do something to try to turn our nation around. All we do is gripe about it. Well, let's get some saved people in office. And there were a lot of saved people that did get in office. And I think, though, you so often you hear about the big shots and the heavy hitters in politics, and you think that because of them, everybody that's a politician is crooked, or they're for sale, or they will not stand for their principles. But I've got news for you: that's not true. I think there are some saved politicians out there. I think there are some that will stand for what they believe. And I think we ought to let each one stand on their own testimony, each one stand on their own reputation. Look, boy, if we had a politician out there that was a born-again saved Baptist and he was trying to do right, but we've already decided all politicians are crooks, haven't we mistreated that one? Would there be any other saved person that would ever run for governor because everybody's just going to call him a crook because of what they are? No, because of what all the rest are. So, I think Bill Clinton's immorality does not mean that every president is immoral. I think that's unfair. So I say God talks to us about our judgment, and he said, don't judge on appearance. The Bible says in Luke 6:37, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. So God is saying, he said, you need to be careful. You need to be careful, especially when you and I label somebody on the basis of maybe what others like them have done. Let me go on. I think, for instance, I'd say this: the Catholic religion. I don't agree with the Catholic religion. I don't agree with the Catholic Church at all. There are some people that think that every Catholic priest is sinfully attracted to children, and that's unfair. I don't think that's true. There may be some that are, but I'm going to tell you, when you label the whole batch of them that way, I think you've been unfair. I think that's an unfair judgment. You say, well, Pastor, you shouldn't be defending the Catholic Church. I'm not defending the Catholic Church. I'm defending proper judgment and telling the truth and handling yourself right. No, I don't believe what the Catholics believe in any way, shape, or form. I'm not going to ever yoke up with the Catholic Church on anything for any reason. But I can tell you this: when somebody looks at a man that's in the Catholic Church and assumes that he is something because someone else they heard about was that bad thing, I don't think that's fair, and I don't think that's right. I think that's poor judgment on a Christian's part. And sometimes those of us that push morality a lot and push separation a lot and push truth a lot, we almost take into our own hands the reputation of others and we label them and we're unfair to them. I don't know any Catholic priests myself personally, but I don't know that every last one of them are immoral in the ways that they are labeled. Let me go on. I'll give you another verse. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. I'm not afraid to preach against the heresy in the Catholic Church. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid to tell you, you can do the rosary all you want and die and go to hell. And you can be baptized and sprinkled all you want and still die and go to hell. And you can pray to Mary and Harry and Larry and the whole batch of them and still die and go to hell. But I think when you say about a man something that you don't even know is true, I think that's wrong. I don't think we're supposed to be going around saying things about people that we do not know is true. So, I think we tend to stereotype. We label people. You'll limit good. I think I stand a chance of winning a lost man in one of these categories that I'm talking about. I stand a chance of winning a man like that to Christ because I have not judged him wrongly. I've not labeled him in a way that's unfair, unjust, but I'm going to tell you something. You label someone unjustly, then you try to win them to Christ, you'll not get anywhere. They're going to see the injustice in your behavior toward them. Did you know that there are geographical stereotypes? For the longest time, if you came from Chicago, you had to be some sort of a gangster or something. That's not true. I know a lot of people in Chicago that are very fine Christians. A couple of the largest churches in our country are in the Chicagoland area, and they're very decent, godly, soul-winning people. There are people that think that, if you're not careful and you live in the South and you look at the North, and we have fun with it, but you say everybody from the North, they're rude and hateful. Now, that's not true. That's not true. Matter of fact, the biggest churches in the history of the United States of America have been built in the North, and I know some very fine, kind, generous, decent people. But wait a minute, you can go up North, you know what they'll do? They'll label people in the South as being lethargic and slow. Did you hear Brother Morgan? He said, "What was that?" But wait a minute, that's not true. We know that. But that stereotype, it can hinder. There are people that they believe everything on the West Coast, it's just all liberal and nasty. I know some very conservative people that live on the West Coast. I know some very powerful, strong churches on the West Coast. So we're to let each church stand on its own two feet, and we're to let each Christian stand on their own two feet. And if they're from the North and they're rude or curt, then that's what they are. But there may be somebody that live right beside them that are the sweetest, kindest people you've ever met. But folks, and maybe you think I'm making too big a deal about this. I happen to know this is where people live. People live here. People make judgments on the color of skin and judgments on did you come from the North, the South, the East, or the West. And judgments on this type of a thing. Where you work, you have to be worthless if that's where you work. Well, it may be that one person that worked there was lousy, but everybody else is a good worker. And what right do we have to pass judgment on the whole crowd on the basis of one's testimony? You may think that if someone's from West Virginia or Kentucky, that they don't have any teeth. But you know, I lived in West Virginia, and just about everybody that came to my church had their teeth. I didn't say everybody. And everybody wore their shoes to church. But and I know we laugh and we kid around about it, but you know there are some people, they have such a curt attitude. It's like if you're from that state, you're worthless. You got to be uneducated. You can't you don't have it together. You've got to be dirty. You eat roadkill that's already cooked on the road. But that's not true. That's not true. And what is it? Again, the Lord said this. He said in Titus chapter 3, verse 2, speak evil of no man. You know, and you understand the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You see, what we say is in our heart. What we say is in our mind. If the Bible says don't speak that way, God is saying don't think that way. Don't think that way. As a church, you and I, we ought not be misjudging people and labeling people. We've got to give people a chance. So I think we shouldn't do it in a variety of areas. Okay, let me give you another area. There are some people that think every person that teaches in a public school that they're for evolution, they're for humanism, they don't want the Bible in the public school. Now, I have to tell you, I'm not a big supporter of the public school. I'd homeschool my kids. I put my kids in the Christian school. I do what I could to get them a good Christian education. But I do know some teachers that have taught in the public school that carry a King James Bible, and they go soul winning, and they go to a Baptist church, and they would like to see the Bible back in the school. I know some that don't teach evolution in the school. I know some that disagree with the humanism in the school. But you have to be careful, because you get the idea. Fundamentalists can get such an attitude about them that they meet someone that's a public school teacher and you immediately think, you've got to be as liberal and crooked as a dog's back leg. You've got to believe in humanism. You teach evolution. You're for the sodomy and all that they tend to promote or they tend to not challenge. And you think, you're for all that. That's not necessarily true. That's not necessarily true. That's unfair. The idea... And listen to this very carefully. The idea, let's say a young man is soft or feminine. So you label him in a way that could be very detrimental and destructive to him. Do you know that not all boys had a dad to teach him to walk like a man? Not all boys had a dad to teach him to throw a ball. Not all boys maybe had a dad to help him to develop certain masculine ways about him. I'll warn you, when you take a young man and there's really, he may be a little soft, he may not have all the masculinity you would like him to have, but if you're not careful and you label him and in your mind you make him into something that he is not, you're not giving him a chance, and it may just be that he's not what you think at all. Matter of fact, he might have needed a man to help him to learn how to do those things. But I've been around for a long time. It's awful easy for us to glance at someone and we look at the appearance and we immediately say, you are this. Well, and that might not be true at all. I don't necessarily think that a few bad students in a school makes an entire school wrong. But boy, have I watched that happen. I've watched a couple kids in a school, whether it be in a public school or a Christian school. I've watched kids do wrong and really get themselves into trouble. And before long, everybody says that school is a wicked school on the basis of the testimony of two or three or four. And I don't think that's fair. I don't think it's fair. If some kid tried to sell drugs at a school, that does not make the school a school full of druggies. It means there's a kid that did wrong, and he ought to be disciplined for that doing of wrong. But be careful that you don't pass judgment on everybody on the basis of the actions of one, and be careful that you're not summarizing because of an appearance what you're assuming what the behavior is going to be of that person because of their appearance. God said, don't judge on appearance, judge on fact. Judge on truth. And I don't think it's fair to call a kid a druggie that's not a druggie. I don't think it's fair to call someone queer that's not queer. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's right. Then you see this sort of thing happen. I don't think, just like a school, a high school, be careful how you judge a college. Do you all realize what happened at Virginia Tech? What, a handful of years ago, a gunman went and just shot all sorts of people up, and it was a student from the school. Now, does that mean everybody that went to or goes to Virginia Tech is a gunman? No, doesn't mean that. But people can develop that attitude. You can go to any college in the world and find bad people in that college. But just because that college, someone from that college did something bad, it does not mean that that college is a bad college. It doesn't mean that everybody there is a bad person. I've been to four different Bible colleges in my day, and in every one of the four colleges that I attended, every one of them, there were people that had testimonies, and I would have been ashamed of their testimony. But I'll tell you this, when on Saturdays, we would, when I went to Hiles Anderson College on Saturdays, I spent my entire Saturday out soul winning and working on bus routes. There were some other kids that went to our school on Saturdays. They'd go play, and some of them got themselves in trouble. I remember while I was in Bible college, I was out soul winning and building bus routes, and a kid that lived at our school that was going to our school had gone to a strip club. Now, he got kicked out of school because that's sin and that's wrong, and he shouldn't have done that. But if you look at me and you say, yeah, you're from the strip club college, you're liable to have your hands full with me, because I was winning people to Christ by the thousands, reading my Bible and praying and going to class and doing the right thing. You have no right to label me on the basis of the bad that somebody else did. And God said, don't make your decision on appearance. Let each one stand on their own two feet. Let me tell you something. Again, we do that, but I could go around this entire room and start asking you, where'd you go to high school? Where'd you go to school? Then we could do some research on the place where you went to school. Then we could find the most vile person in your school, and we could label everybody in here as bad as that person. You would say, well, that's not fair. Then if it's not fair that someone do it to you, God's saying, then don't do it to someone. He's saying, because with the same judgment you have judged, that can happen to you. And God loves you too much to want that to happen to you. Hey, listen, just because there are some religious leaders out there that are wackos, well, that doesn't mean that all religious leaders, if you will, are wackos. Now, I realize, man, you can turn the television on, and some of you watch way too much TV religion. You got yourself messed up, and you don't even know it. But you look in history, and you look at what we call the televangelists and all that, and, you know, where they're living in $2 million homes and everything that goes along with it. Okay, so do you understand there are people in our society that because some of those that are high profile did stupid things, they think every preacher out there is like that? I wonder how many people you come across that say, I just had it with a whole mess of you. Sir, that really is not fair. You drive a Ford? I know people that worked at Ford that are child molesters, so it must be that everybody does that. Well, I would never say that. I would never treat someone like that that worked at Ford. That's crazy. Why would anybody talk about people that way? But it happens. It happens. We put everybody in the same little category, and then we label them that way. And God said, don't judge like that. Your relationships with people that you know are going to be stronger and healthier if you let them stand or fall on the basis of their reputation and their behavior. When I was growing up, there was a family in my hometown, and there was about six kids in the family. And the oldest couple of boys were some of the rowdiest, meanest troublemakers in our whole town. Their names were the McDavids. Drinking, fighting, cussing, wild, free. There were four little brothers and sisters, had the same last name. I felt so bad for the four little brothers and sisters because they were good kids. They were good people. The two older brothers had given the McDavid name a terrible name. I watched teachers mistreat the four younger ones. I watched student body mistreat the four younger ones. I watched police officers. I remember watching a police officer say to one of the good kids, you're a McDavid. Tell me your story from the back of my cruiser. I'm thinking, wait, you don't know. He's not like his brother. But that's how he was treated. And some of you, probably in your hometown, same thing could happen. Somebody that had a bad reputation, and somehow we attach somebody to it, and then that somebody has not been treated fairly. So, may I say, watch family names. Watch mistreating a younger brother because of an older brother. Watch mistreating a younger sister because of a bad testimony of an older sister. Well, I know her husband. So a husband has a bad reputation and you punish the wife. How can that be fair? Well, I know their parents. So the parents were not good people, so you naturally think that their children are bad people. That's not fair. And God said, He said, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another. He says, who art thou that judgest another? He said, for therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same thing. And I think what God is telling us, folks, is said, look, when you look at people, you got to give them a shot. You got to give them a fair shake. Don't judge them on all of those things, but you learn them and let them, again, stand or fall on their behavior. Okay, maybe there's some fundamental Baptist church out there that is hateful. Well, if somebody judges the Twin Rivers Baptist Church and saying you're hateful on the basis of some other church's behavior, that's not fair. This is not a hateful church. We hate sin, but we don't hate people. We believe in separation, but we love people. But I couldn't tell you how many people say, well, I never go to an independent fundamental Baptist church, one of them old-time religious churches. I'll never go to one of those. Those are bad places. On the basis of what? So when you have somebody say, well, I'm not interested in coming to your church. I know exactly what your church is like. You need to say, you don't know exactly what our church is like. You need to come and experience it. And it'll be for sure. That'll be the Sunday when I'll throw an ever-loving fit in this pulpit. And they'll say, that's what I thought. And then what you do is you say, you need to come back tonight. That's one sermon. Because there's a balance that we're trying to achieve. So, let me remind you, God said, be careful when you're busy judging people. You could be judged the same way. And I think in all actuality, we probably are being judged the same way. When you're stereotyping or labeling people with an injustice in the way you judge them, somebody's looking right back at you. They can do the very same thing. You tell me where you went to college. You tell me where you went to school. You tell me where you work. I bet we could find somebody there that's real bad. We could label you that way too. But it's unfair. God said, if you want people, if you want to reach people, help people, love people, and treat people right, watch that you do not unfairly judge. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This is something that we've got to work at. We live in a society that they can be vicious toward one another. Oh, my. You say, well, if you take just in the realm of the politics, Democrat, Republican, in all of it, you say, well, they believe this way. They've got to be like this. They've got to be like that. Boy, that's so unfair. You don't know. You don't know. Let's be careful in how we judge those we know and those that we don't. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, I think my heart, my mind has been challenged. I want to stand for what's right, but I want to be fair in my stance. And I want to be fair with people. And God has spoken to my heart. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? God has spoken to my heart, and I want to be fair with people. Amen. If we'll do that, we'll reach more people. Oh, we're going to stand against wrong. We're going to stand against corruption. We're going to stand against immorality. We're going to stand against lying. We're going to stand against stealing and cheating. But let's not label everybody a liar just because of where they went to school or what color their skin might be or what bumper sticker they have on their car. Be careful now. There's a there's an injustice that we often practice, especially if you're a little more conservative, you can get that way. You almost feel like you have the right. We're going to have an altar call. If you need a moment at the altar, I wish you'd come. This is something I have to work at, and I hope you'll work at it, and it'll better your relationships. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play at this moment. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Improper judgment. Now, God judges. Indeed, He does. Most of the time, He spends His time telling us the difference between right and wrong, sin and righteousness. He said, and when He comes, the Holy Spirit, He will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. The Holy Spirit should convict us about our inappropriate judgment. He said, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Judge not, to be not judged. That does not keep us from telling the truth. It does not keep us from preaching the truth. It is the proper application thereof, especially when it comes to groups, individuals. This way, if you will, for a moment. I'm so sad, you know, for the first 15, 16 years of my life, I had not had much training. And I'm very, and I'm sad about that because I had developed quite an attitude. And I'm so glad I got saved because when I got saved, I had to start changing the way I thought and the way I behaved. And I'm glad. If not, I'd be a mess today. And well, I'm a mess anyway, but it'd be worse. Can you imagine that? It'd be worse than what I am. But I had to work on my attitude. Now, there's so many people that they would say, sure, God loves everybody, but they're racist, they're slanted, and we're not supposed to be that way. Not supposed to be that way. That's scriptural. There's a scriptural behavior that God expects of us, and we need to practice it.